without placing our hope and trust in the one who went to the cross for us. Today, let's, as we continue the series, turn to John chapter 19, beginning with verse 28. John 19, beginning with verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the Scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another Scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. His willingness to suffer because of us. We nailed his hands and his feet to that cross by our sin. As we open our hearts and our minds to you, may we receive your message as you speak to us through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Once a year, I try to go away for a couple of days, and I'll take a stack of books from my shelf and maybe a couple of new books that I've ordered. And I sit down with a calendar that I've made, a sermon planning calendar, and I try to plan out about 18 months. I look at the rest of the year and try to get all of next year planned. Well, I did that last year and took a stack of books and planned out the year. Now, this past fall, I changed some things, dropped a series, and added something different when I got there. But one of the books I had, I believe, came out of my father-in-law's library. Seven Sayings, One Friday. And I thought that would be a great series leading up to Easter the next year. And so I set that aside, and when I came to that time, I pulled out the book. I had to find it. Now, where did I put that book? Found it. And sometimes when I plan a series, it's inspired by one of the books on my shelf, and I'll go and get the book, and I can't find a whole lot in there I can use, but it inspires the topic. This one, I found a lot of nuggets in this book, so I want to give credit to Ken Filkin, for a lot of the material in this series, especially today. I'm sure my father-in-law will use this book to teach this series, maybe even preach the sermon series, the same series. But this particular chapter on I thirst, the whole chapter was highlighted. I found maybe one or two chapter or paragraphs in there that weren't highlighted. So it was filled with a lot of great nuggets that I can use for today. And I also use Logos on my computer. It gives me access to several commentaries. And I have an online site I subscribe to. Occasionally, it's called Sermon Central. Occasionally, I'll try to see what other guys somewhere have preached on a subject or a particular passage. But mostly, I just look for illustrations and stories, a good closing illustration and story, and use throughout the sermon. For after all, Jesus taught with stories, his parables. They were stories, and he brought great lessons. So that's what I use that primarily for. So today, I want to look at, I think this is the fourth in our series, I thirst. I thirst. Do you ever get thirsty? Maybe it's working out in the field on a hot day. Maybe you didn't take enough water and you start becoming dehydrated and you can just feel the weakness coming on, or working in your yard or at your job. know, if you lose, our bodies are made up of 2/3 water. We are, majority of us is water. And if you drop that water by 2%, you lose 20% of your energy. If you drop it 10%, you can't walk. You drop it 20% and you die. But that thirst, maybe you've been there where you're thirsty, starting to feel that dehydration, that nausea, the lips becoming dry and cracked, and you thirst. Can you imagine being beaten half to death, dripping blood drops on a road that leads to the hill called Golgotha as you try to carry your cross? And there, having a puddle of blood where you have hung for hours, certainly he thirsted. A little boy, maybe you've been there, he cried out, "Dad!" He just went to bed, had a little drink of water. "Dad, I'm thirsty. Can I have another drink of water?" "No, you're just stalling. You need to go to sleep." 5 minutes later, "Dad, I'm really thirsty. Would you bring me a glass of water?" He said, "You've had water. You need to go to sleep. You're just stalling. Now, if I come up there, I'm going to have to spank you." 5 minutes later, "Dad, when you come up to spank me, will you bring me a drink of water?" We get thirsty. And Jesus was thirsty. He said, "I thirst." And when we look at His ministry, we can't help but acknowledge that Jesus' ministry began hungry and ended thirsty. That for 40 days He fasted, and there the devil took Him up to a high place and tempted Him. And all sin, according to 1 John 2:16, falls under three categories. Every sin we could list comes into three categories: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And there, Satan tempted Jesus and said, "I know you're hungry. Turn this stone into bread and fulfill those fleshly desires." Lust of the eyes. He said, "Look at all the kingdoms of the world. They can be yours." And the pride of life. "Jesus, just throw yourself down off of here. Your Father will not let you be harmed because you are too important." He began with hunger, ended with thirst. But His desire for us is to hunger and thirst for righteousness, for then we will be satisfied. Matthew 5:6. Between hunger and thirst, He performed incredible miracles. And yet, He grew very tired at the same time. He needed rest. He needed sleep. He cried. He was both human and divine. He was actually offered two drinks at the cross. One in the morning after 9 a.m., we read this in Matthew 27. Verse 33. "And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered Him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when He tasted it, He would not drink it. And when they had crucified Him, they divided His garments among them by casting lots." The gall was a poison. And after they placed one on the cross, they would give them this drink with this poison. Now, we could speculate what this gall was for and the poison on that day. Maybe it was to speed the death because the Jews didn't want Him on the cross all day on that Friday. Or perhaps this poison, this gall, also deadened the senses. And when one was on the cross, as we've already looked at, you would grow tired hanging on those nails. And the reason why they broke the legs is because the only way you could breathe would be to push yourself up. Otherwise, you would suffocate. And perhaps this poison deadened the senses that would prolong the amount of time that one could push himself up. It would ease that pain. And when in fact, that poison would not kill, but it prolonged the suffering for days. But Jesus, when he tasted it, rejected it, but not when he asked for the drink, when he said, "I thirst." They gave him vinegar wine mixed with water. We had a team just get back from Haiti, and hopefully we'll hear from them next Sunday about their adventures. But when you go to Haiti, it's a lot like going to Mexico. Don't drink the water. You'll get very, very sick. And it's because our bodies aren't used to the bacteria in the water. And there at the compound where they stayed, there's a well and a filtration system so that and people from around there in the neighborhoods, they come and they fill their jugs with fresh water that's been filtered. And the team members have their own water bottle that they took with them, and they would take it to the water cooler where the big 5-gallon jug that has filtered water has been placed, and they would continually keep their water bottle filled and try to remember to use that to rinse your toothbrush and not the sink water, because you might get sick. That's the same thing here. The Romans were sent off to fulfill their duty as soldiers. And when they went to Israel, they were said, "Don't drink the water." And they would mix wine vinegar. Wine passed its time and become vinegar. And they would mix it with the water to kill the bacteria. And especially on a hot crucifixion day, when they had to stand out there and watch the crucified, they would keep their water on hand so they would not dehydrate. And this, when Jesus said, "I thirst," they offered to him. And he drank from the sponge just before he died. For a couple reasons. It showed that he was fully man. That on the cross he didn't suffer as God in some supernatural way he could endure, but he endured the cross just as any man. He thirsted. And he was fulfilling prophecy, Psalm 69. And we looked at Hebrews 4 earlier, that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So here Jesus was God and he knew our needs. But he was also fully man. He set aside his deity and he understands our needs. So this brings us to the question. Was Jesus human or divine? He was both. He was both fully human, but yet fully God. But he set aside his deity. He humbled himself and he said, "But what about the miracles he performed? What about all..." He performed the miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit that came on him, just like the apostles, who were mere men, who on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were able to raise the dead and heal the sick, and they were able to impart various gifts by the laying on of hands, the apostles. So they had the same power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had. Even though he was God, he set aside his deity, and he was fully man, and he suffered on the cross. Now we have three boys, and those three boys are fully mine, but they're also fully Becky's. But it's amazing when you claim them and when you don't claim them. "Bill, come and see what your son has done." When he took the crayon and drew a Happy Meal, hamburger and fries on the wall. "Bill, come and look what your son has done." When one of the boys found a new tube of lipstick and drew on the carpet. And this was a new house we had it built in 95. We moved in, and this was probably 98, 99, maybe earlier than that. But when they do something great, look what my son did. Look what my son accomplished. Jesus was Mary's son when he forgot to tell his parents he was going to be in the temple at the age 12, and they left without him. But he was God's son when he confounded the Pharisees with his teaching. Jesus was Mary's son when he fell asleep in the belly of a boat because he was exhausted. But he was God's son when he spoke the storm into submission. Be still. Jesus was Mary's son when he cried at the death of Lazarus. But he was God's son when he called Lazarus from the grave. Jesus was Mary's son when he became thirsty on the cross and died and was buried in a tomb. But he was God's son when he raised from the grave on that third day. Jesus is Mary's son, and that he understands all our hurts and all our fears and all our temptations. And he's God's son, and that he sits at the right hand of the throne of God as our high priest, as our mediator, standing on our behalf. Susanna Petroysen and her 4-year-old daughter, Guyana, on December 7th, 1988, went to the fifth floor apartment of her sister-in-law, Corrine, to borrow a dress. They arrived there at 11:30 a.m. But then at 11:41 a.m., the worst earthquake in the history of Armenia rushed through. And that 9-story apartment complex collapsed all around them. Susanna grabbed her daughter, Guyane, and took one step when the floor gave way and they fell to the basement. And that apartment complex crumbled above them, on top of them. More than 50,000 Armenians were killed from that earthquake. Corrine was one of the ones that was a casualty. But there, Susanna was on her back. There were 18 inches. There was 18 inches of clearance between her and the concrete slab above her. And there, beside her was her daughter, Guyane. She was crying, but her mom consoled her, comforted her as best she can, as she could. And she describes that it was so dark, she couldn't keep track of the days. There were 8 days before they were rescued. And it was so cold that she says, I couldn't feel my hands and feet. But I did everything I could to keep Guyane warm and comfortable. And often I would drift into sleep thinking I would soon die and it would be a relief. And I escaped the horror of our condition when I slept, only to be awakened by her daughter's crying. She managed to find in the darkness a jar of jam that she fed her daughter. But by the end of the second day, it was gone. And she would often awake to her daughter crying, I'm thirsty. Mommy, I'm thirsty. And she remembered watching a show where there was an expedition in the Arctic where one became injured and was becoming dehydrated. that his comrade cut his hand and dripped his blood to quench the thirst of the dying one. And so I can't imagine Susanna would do whatever it takes to rescue her daughter, save her daughter so that she could live. She found some broken glass. She cut her index finger as her daughter sucked from her finger. She would quench the thirst. She said, I don't know how many times I cut my fingers. She would cry and say, Mommy, I'm thirsty. Cut another finger. Can you imagine? And Jesus did that for you and me. Our God said, I will do whatever it takes so that my children will live. My creation will live. And there Jesus dropped his blood for you and me. He was pierced for us. There he hung alone. His friends abandoned him. They gambled away his possessions. And he who knew no sin became our sin. And the Father turned his back. He couldn't bear the sin. And there he hung all alone and died so that we could live. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday evening, Gabe Jenkins said, thank you, Jesus, by confessing Him as Lord. And his dad, Greg, buried Him into Christ, baptized Him and raised Him into new life. Maybe for you, today is the day to say thank you by confessing Jesus as Lord. Being buried with Him. Galatians tells us that when we are buried with Christ, baptized into Christ, we are clothed with Christ. We put on Christ. Romans 6 calls it a burial and a resurrection, just like the burial of Jesus, just like the resurrection of Jesus, raised into new life. Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So maybe He's calling you today to surrender to Him, to recommit your life to Him. Maybe place your membership here. Or maybe you're in need of special prayer. Why don't you come as we stand and as we sing?